Yes, Lord Jesus, we just declare this morning with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind and all of our strength, that we love you. Lord, we can love you because you first loved us. Thank you for loving us. Lord, we declare your love and your beauty this morning. You are the faithful witness. You are the firstborn from the dead. You are the King of the kings of the earth. You have eyes like fire. Your voice is stronger than the oceans. Your glory is whiter than any white we've ever seen. Lord, we declare this morning together that you are beautiful. And we love you. And we thank you that you loved us first so that we could love in the way that you love us. Bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, worship team. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone here, family here this morning. First order of business, would love to dismiss the children. You can go to your kids' church. And if you have an offering, we have the offering the plate up here. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Okay, we'd also like to acknowledge if we have anyone in the house this morning who has not ever been here before, first time, we're going to ask you we're going to ask you to raise your hand so that we can get a connection card, which is basically a way for us to get to know you. So if that's you, first time here, raise your hand nice and high, and one of our deacons will bring you a card. And if you would fill that out and put it in a basket on the way out the door, it's over there by the exit, then we'll be able to connect with you. So we do have a few new people. They're over here for all those people that want to go and say hi to them, because that's what we're going to do right now. So we're going to take a moment to just get up and welcome one another like family. And please say hello to our new guests over here. We'll take a couple minutes to do that. Okay. Grace Point family, it's good to be family, but I'm going to ask you to take your seats again. Got a few announcements this morning. Thank you. Okay, so welcome again. It's so good to see everyone. We do have a few announcements, very few this morning, thank God. All right, so we have, Daniel Breimer is with us with Worship, Watch, and Wait tonight, 6 o'clock, right here. So it's always a blessing for not only our church, but others who come and participate in that. So mark that if that's something you're interested in. We want to continue to encourage you. When you walked in, you probably saw a big suitcase in the back of the sanctuary with a big sign about fire victims in South Africa. We want to encourage you, if you have been thinking about that, and you know, during the week you forget, you know, oh, I wanted to grab some soap to put in there or whatever it was, I want to encourage you to continue to bring those offerings in. You can put them in that suitcase right there in the back, or you can bring them to the front office if you're passing by one day and you go, oh yeah, I have that in the trunk, I think I'll stop at the office and give it there. You can do that as well. But things, well, just a quick note, things to consider bringing if you're still thinking about that are children's and men's clothing of all sizes, toiletries like washcloth, soap, toothbrushes, toothpaste, deodorant, etc. And you can just drop those kinds of things right there in the suitcase or upstairs to Roseanne or whoever's in the office. Okay, finally, like I said, it was short. We have an upcoming, we started this several months ago, and every few months we'll be having a corporate we have a corporate prayer time and a 24-hour prayer sign-up time for Grace Point Church. So that's coming up on June 30th today. I just want to get it in your thinking that on June 30th there will be up in the chapel a corporate prayer meeting. We're praying related to our church, to our city, and to whatever the Holy Spirit leads us in. We meet in the chapel. It'll be a two-hour family meeting, we can put it that way, or corporate, where we all come together to pray together for a few hours. And then there'll be sign-ups starting next week. You'll see a whiteboard in the back of the sanctuary. You can begin to sign up for any hour for the 24 hours to encourage other people to come and pray with you during that prayer, 24-hour prayer time. And that is that for the announcements.
Thanks, Brett. I had the privilege of doing our offering for this morning, and I love the scripture that says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. You know, we oftentimes think of just offering as an awkward time to pass around a plate and, oh, I forgot my checkbook or whatever. Or, no, it's really a time of worship. It's a time to go, Lord, I want to bow down my heart, my finances, my life, the things that you've given me. I want to let it bow down and worship you and kneel before you, our Lord, our Maker. So this morning, as we pray for the offering, I want to invite you, would you pray with me? We're not just praying for the offering. Let's pray together for the offering, for the Lord to multiply it, to use it as we give out of that place of gratefulness and thankfulness to the Lord. God, I want to thank you for this offering, God. Lord, thank you that we get to worship you, Lord. We get to give. We get to be able to be a blessing back, Lord, to you. So, God, I want to just ask that you would do that. You would multiply this offering, Lord. You would just use it for the work of this church as we give it to you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you're old school and have a checkbook, you can make it out to Grace Point. If you're like me and like to use your telephone, there's a way to text to give. That'll be up on the screen. Wonderful way to be able to do that if that's you, or otherwise as they pass around the cash or whatever you've got. God bless you. Thank you for giving, and thanks for giving a Grace Point. And Doug, you need to turn the sound on.
Well, this morning we've got quite a lot of different things going on. We're actually going to be praying out the mission team going to Oklahoma and be focusing today on missions and the sending part, the Great Commission of the Church. But we also want to pray for Eric, and Eric is leaving to go to Egypt. But before we do that, Doug, if you could just mute the live stream. Those on the live stream, this is just going to be muted, and the sound will come back after this, but just to protect Eric and the people that he's going to be working with. So thank you. Are we ready, Doug?
Yeah. Okay. I'm leaving tomorrow for 2 weeks, 2 days, to Egypt, and I appreciate all your guys' prayers. This is a little bit different trip. Normally, I go at least once a year to be a part of a really big school, about 200-300 people sometimes that are there for a counseling school. This time it's a little different. I'm connected with the same group that does the counseling school, but I've got three different places I'm gonna go to. The very first one I'm going to is Upper Egypt. And Upper Egypt, that's their terminology. We would think of Southern Egypt, but they call it Upper because it actually goes up in elevation and then the Nile flows northwards. But Upper Egypt is kind of an area of, like, it's a little bit more backcountry-ish, if you will, not as developed as, like, say, a place like Cairo. And a lot more stuff goes on there. And I've been invited to speak for 3 days there in Upper Egypt on abuse. And that's a big thing there. Without going into a lot of detail, there's a lot of things that happen there in terms of sexual abuse. There's a lot of things, even though technically it's illegal in Egypt, still happens there, with female circumcision and a lot of other things, and it's really a difficult time. So this is an open seminar, so I often have tons of Muslims that come, and they know I'm a Christian. I'm limited to what I can say publicly, but what I'd like to really ask you to pray for, and that's why we had the cameras turned off, is even if I can't talk publicly about Jesus, they know there's something different. They know there's something different about me, about the other Christians that I'm there with, and that's oftentimes where a lot of the great conversations happen, is afterwards. Because you're really hitting on a felt need, and it's because of that felt need, then they come and go up later on in the name of asking a question, and then they really want to know, why are you different? What's going on? What makes what you have to say different than the Quran? And so it's a really wonderful way to be able to minister to Muslims. From there, I go to the north end of Egypt to Alexandria. It's on the Mediterranean. I'm there another 3 days as the guest speaker for a one-year anniversary of a counseling ministry that started there from one of our graduates. So I'm speaking on healthy sexuality, one night for married couples, the next night for singles, and then the third night for counselors and other helpers. And then after that, I go to Cairo and speak for 4 days about working with trauma and the nervous system. So I've got 10 days of teaching, and it's going to be pretty long and grueling. The 3 days that I'm in Upper Egypt, the forecast for the temperature, just so you know, is it going to be 108 to 115 every day. So, woo! So just pray for its safety, travel. It's a little riskier in Upper Egypt, so just pray for a lot of travel, a lot of time of teaching and ministering, and that the Lord would be glorified and use this time most
Amen.
Of all.
Amen. Well, would you join with me in praying for Eric? And also, when he says that the temperature is 108, there's no air conditioning in many places as well. So that's, but it's a dry heat, right?
It's a dry heat.
Well, they say that. But yeah, would you join me in praying for Eric? Lord, we thank you for Eric. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you've given him, the teaching abilities that you've given him, the talents that he has, but Lord, also the way that his heart is to proclaim the name of Jesus, to see people set free, to see the lies of the enemy being put down. And so, Lord, I pray that you will protect Eric in every mile that he journeys. I pray, Lord, for every conversation he has to be filled with your presence and your spirit, that you will lead him and guide him as he's teaching, but also those conversations that happen afterwards, Lord, that he would have opportunities to proclaim the name of Jesus, the opportunities to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And Lord, we pray for a harvest of righteousness as your name is proclaimed and as your word is also taught, Lord. Your word has power to change nations. And we pray, Lord, for the people that Eric encounters, the people that he speaks to, Lord, that they would be receptive to the word of God. And so, Lord, we pray your protection, your safety over him. But also, Lord, we pray for Lisa and those that stay behind, that you will protect them. Cover them with your safety, Lord, and send angels to guard and protect them, we pray. So bless him. And, Lord, we look forward to a good report of what you have done and are doing in Egypt. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Well, now, as I said, we're going to just spend a brief moment. We're sending a mission team to Tahlequah, Oklahoma, next Saturday. So if that mission team would come forward, those that are here, I know we're missing some people. I guess no one's going. David's going. Justin and Nicole Lawson are going as well. Joshua and Rick's going. And David, yeah, obviously he's up in the sound booth, and he's on his way down. We're getting some family from there. Yeah, little one's going. So we have two families going, which will be a real blessing. And you know, those of you who remember from last year, we took our first team to Tahlequah, Oklahoma, which is the church of, there's Joshua, the church of, he's serving in the children's department, so thank you, Joshua. So Tom and Joyce Lyle, longtime members of Grace Point and wonderful, wonderful servants of the Lord, they live now in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, and go to a church called the Crescent Valley Baptist Church, and we were able to go and send a team there last year. And it's an amazing, fruitful ministry in the Cherokee Nation. And so this is the team that's going. And it's every year the Lord has something special. I know Rick has been on many mission trips with Grace Point, and he just says yes. He says, you know, and my philosophy on missions is the answer is always yes, unless a no is required. Which is a Madagascar theology, if some of you may know that. But it's the Lord is sending this team. He's called this team to go, and I want us to pray for them as they go. Does anybody here feel you want to share something from the Lord? You want to share? Yeah.
Good morning, church, family. So we're very, very excited about this trip. But in the past 3 weeks or so, there's been, like, serious, intense spiritual warfare going on. The intensity has picked up dramatically. It's nothing that we are not accustomed to prior to going to a missions trip, but it has occurred. So when you're praying, please pray with a sincere devotion and for all of us, not just our family. I mean, our family has experienced it, but I imagine Rick and Justin and everybody else is probably experienced something too, so but we're very happy and excited to go and share Christ with the people in Tahlequah.
Amen. 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 Rick, you want to share something? No? For today. So Debbie's not standing up here, but Debbie and I are going as well, and we'll be joining the team for the first. You can stand up. They need a prayer too, you know. we'll be spending the first few days with the team, and then leaving them. So, but in good hands, Mike McCord and his wife, Sarah, always do a great job of leading the trips and facilitating much of the ministry. We were on the phone yesterday. There are so many ministry opportunities open that literally it's going to be busy, but it's going to be good. And there's lots of opportunities there. So would you join me in praying for this team before they go out? Lord, we thank you for these that have said yes. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing, your provision, and your covering over them. Lord, we pray for angels to guard and protect us as we go. For every mile traveled in all the vehicles, Lord, we pray for your supernatural protection. But Lord, we pray for the outworking of the gospel through these going. Lord, that they would have stories of lives transformed, stories of lives touched. Lord, we pray for the Cherokee Nation. Lord, that you would move mightily. There was a time when the Bible was their only book. And Lord, I pray that as the Word of God is proclaimed there, it would continue to grow and multiply, and there'd be an abundant harvest of righteousness in that location in Tahlequah and in the surrounding areas in Oklahoma. So Lord, we pray for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, for the provision. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities. And I pray, Lord, that you would use this team mightily for your kingdom. And Lord, we also pray for the health of Nicole and Justin and Haven, as they have said yes to go and aren't able to be with us this morning. Lord, we pray for them right now to be healed and set free in the name of Jesus, so that there will be no hindrance to anyone being able to go on this trip, Lord. For the glory of your name, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay, I need to find. We've got. So, what we're going to do this morning is a little different, but it's. I've asked some of the people who have been involved in the Minding the Gap, the elementary school Bible clubs, the 180 Club, and so on, to come and share with us about what God has done in and through the ministry in our public schools. You may not be aware of the fact of what is going on in the elementary schools, but it's tremendous what God is doing. So as our focus today is on mission, I thought, well, let's focus on what is happening right here in our schools, in our city. So I'm going to ask Bob to come up first. I'm going to have Bob and Nicole and Kyle and Marlene. So Marlene, you can come after Bob and come and share. So thank you, Bob.
Good morning, Grace Point. I wanted to do a quick recap on how Minding the Gap came about. For those of you who are new people, you probably aren't aware. 20 years ago or thereabouts, Curtis Calvary, our pastor at the time, had gotten together with the principal at Warford Elementary. Warford is just south of the prayer room, and it's our closest school. And so he got together with that wonderful lady, wonderful Christian gal, and they were able to get a public school setting, a Bible study, all voluntary, done because it was after school hours. The parents had all given permission, and so we have been able to stay underneath the radar for all of these years. Well, after a number of years, of course, Pastor Calvary retired, and the baton got handed to Athel. When he took it over, it was a wonderful time, a challenge, of course. And one particular year, with the help of our DTS students, the Disciple Training students from the YWAM base, came to help us. And in that time, we were able to reach 90% of the enrollment that was at Warford then. But as you can imagine, the enemy decided to do pushback, and after a year, we had a new principal come in who was not a committed Christian, and the program got missile, basically. We then asked, as you can imagine, with one of these volunteers' missions, the need is so much greater than the availability of help to do it, and so it became obvious that Grace Point could no longer be the sponsor. Athel had asked Zach Nicholson, the youth pastor at IHOP, to come help us out. He was able to do that, and in 2 years, that ministry was handed over to him. He picked it up with Minding the Gap. Now, what's so wonderful about Minding the Gap is we were in Warford originally. Then 2 years ago, we were able to get into Compass. Compass is the elementary school just the other side of the interchange, and had some wonderful, wonderful things happen there as well. Marlene will bring you up to speed on that. But then Zach was able to get us this last year into a third school, Butcher Green, where Kyle led that event. And guys, in all of the years that I had been a part of that program, for the first time I saw children worshiping. I mean, really worshiping the Lord. And it was an eye-opener for me because I said, wow, Lord, this is really what it's all about. I love teaching Bible. It's been in my DNA forever. But to see the children participate in worship and know it's absolute genuine made all the difference in the world. That's what it's about.
Okay, Minding the Gap has, as you can have heard from Bob, the primary thing is the 180, the After School Bible Club, that was a continuation of the one that was started here through the church here at Warford. But Minding the Gap has another outreach, and that's called Building Bridges. A large percentage of children in our public elementary schools, and especially since COVID, it's even worse. They kind of fall through that gap, that reading gap, and they're not reading at the level that they should be. So the Building Bridges program is a tutoring mentoring where we actually go into the schools during the school day and work with the children on their reading, writing, and math skills. At Warford and Compass, in both in the Hickman Mills School District, that is done. Generally, we pull the children out of the classroom, we go to the library or some other neutral space and work with the children one-on-one or one-to-two or three on their reading, writing skills. I have done the tutoring at Warford the last couple of years, and that's been a really good experience. I actually had the same child as a fourth grader and then again the second year as a fifth grader. So you really get to build a rapport and not only tutor them, but you build a relationship with them as someone that's not a parent, not a teacher, just a caring adult. This year I also had the opportunity to serve at Butcher Green in the Grandview School District, and there we actually went into the classroom and worked under the auspices of the classroom teacher during their reading time and worked with a small group on specific reading writing skills. One of the boys that I worked with in that fifth grade class joined the class in the middle of the school year, and at that point he was reading on a kindergarten level. I worked with him on his reading writing skills along with some other children in the group, also on sight word recognition. And the difference between the Building Bridges and the 180 is the 180 club, since it's after school, we can openly share the gospel. During the school day in the classroom, we cannot. So I wasn't able to share about Jesus with him, but I was able to love on him and encourage him and build him up. And I saw him improve in his reading and writing abilities and his comprehension. I'm not positive, but I'm thinking from some things the teacher and I talked, he was probably on a second grade, maybe a third grade level by the time the school year ended. And this child is now finished at fifth grade. And because of the one, No Child Left Behind, she really wanted to hold him back so that he would have more help on the in the elementary classes, schoolroom, in the elementary buildings for one-on-one than he would in middle school, but because of that, she could not. And so she and I both knew that he would be moving on to sixth grade, and so he's definitely on my heart. He's in my prayers. I have been praying for him and will continue to do so, but I feel that God used me to assist that child in improving his reading and writing abilities, but also I showed him the love of Christ. Even though I didn't share the gospel with him, I was able to show him that in the way I encouraged him and worked with him. I was there every week. I was present in his life, and I was a positive influence, I hope, on him. A couple of verses I'd like to share with you. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Start children off the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." Mark 9:37 says, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." So both of these passages from tell us that we have to start when children are young, and that's what the Minding the Gap program is doing by working in the elementary schools. As Bob mentioned, we started with Warford, we moved to Compass, we've now added Butcher Green, and Zach is hopeful to adding at least one, if not two more schools in this next school year, but he has to have volunteers and he has to have money to buy Bibles. Every child that goes to the 180 after school club in any of these elementaries receives their own Bible, and those do cost money.
Thanks, Marlene. How long do I have, Ethel? 20 minutes? Jason said 20. Five. Oh, I can do five. All right. Awesome. Good morning, guys. So this has probably been one of the highlights of my year. I went to a luncheon last fall after Zach approached me and asked if I would help him start a new Bible club at Butcher Green Elementary in Grandview, which, if you guys know, is the elementary school that the kids from the Cloverleaf area go to. So it's like one of the most underperforming schools in the entire city. Desperate for help. So I went to one of the luncheons. They had to kind of learn more about the program. And I remember Zach and Daniel, a lot of the staff and the volunteers, talking about how, you know, they were informed through the schools they've already been working in Compass and Warford, that the Minding the Gap volunteers were the only safe interactions with adults some of these kids has ever had. And the kids would tell them that, you know, that, like, you know, "Oh, what's your favorite thing in life right now? What are you thankful for?" And then almost all of the kids said, like, "You guys." Like, a lot of them are coming from really, really broken, like, addiction, all this stuff, like not having any parents in the home, not being supervised. You know, we saw in our club the kids were falling asleep all the time, and we found out it's because none of them have bedtimes. They're just allowed to stay up all night and do whatever they want. So they were falling asleep in the school and in the program. But I was really touched by that. And at the time, I was the outreach coordinator for 111 Global, which is where I'm on staff full time. And, you know, they plant, help other communities plant communities of prayer in their own context. And we've been looking for opportunities to do local outreach. So when Zach from Minding the Gap approached me, I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is an answer to prayer." So we ended up getting some volunteers from 111 to go and just to take the skills we learned in building communities of prayer and just apply it to an after-school Bible club, which ended up being really fun. So our format looked a little bit different. We ended up just having all the kids together in the gym. And the after-school program, Link, which is a secular program, was so grateful that we were there to help minister to the children that they said, "You know what, we're not even going to do permission slips. We're just going to make all of the kids come to Bible Club." So we're like, "All right," it was awesome. So before we started, the Grandview School District has a very complicated background check procedure that took like 5 or 6 weeks, which we didn't anticipate. So we were intending to start in the fall. We actually didn't start until December. But I felt like that there was an invitation to the Lord to gather together during the time that we would minister to the children to intercede for them. So that's what we did. We gathered a small group of the team at my house, and every single time, Wednesdays at 4 or 5 o'clock, we would just gather and we would pray for the kids and sing over them for an hour and just listen to the Lord. And one of the reputations that the class we had that we were going to minister to, the district called it the hell class, because they had, every single year, this class had given the teachers so much trouble. They were so disobedient. They were like jumping each other after school. These are like third, fourth, fifth graders, like doing like a gang violence on each other, you know? And you're like, you know what? Like, we feel like the Lord wants to move. And so at first we were praying just for help, you know, weak prayers for help to manage the kids and that we wouldn't quit. And we felt like God actually challenged us to believe for revival. And that God wanted to change the outcome. He wanted to bring the Holy Spirit in, and he wanted to bring revival to this community. And so we started just ministering to the kids. We would go through the program, and then we decided just to teach them the basics and just teach them how to pray, how to sing to God, what that means, that God wants to be their friend, and that he can talk to them. And we wanted to equip them with tools that they could use, even in their really difficult and chaotic home lives, where they could find a way to connect with Jesus and get help and understanding from him, even in their own situations. So in January this year, is really our first kind of like full semester we got to minister to them, because we were only with them for 2 or 3 weeks before school broke for Christmas, by the time we got the background checks out. And we were teaching the kids how to pray and sing to the Lord, and I just felt in my spirit, I was like, God, what do you want next? And I felt like we were supposed to do an altar call for salvation, for the kids to actually fully dedicate their lives to the Lord, and to make it just very, very clear about the cost of discipleship. You know, and these are kindergarten through fifth grade, but to be really clear about that Jesus wanted a relationship with them and they needed to give him everything. And so I had procrastinated that week, as I have some other weeks, and didn't look at the lesson until the day I was supposed to teach it. And in the lesson it said, we suggest doing an altar call for salvation during this lesson. And I was like, okay, so that was the Lord. So what we felt like the Lord wanted us to do was to just call all the kids in the gym to just come forward facing the wall and to just kneel before the Lord if they wanted to receive Jesus. And then the team could go and just lay hands on the kids and speak identity and destiny over them, and just help them like learn to hear and receive the Father's love. So we did, and around about like 30 kids who were mostly this day kindergarten through second grade came forward, leaving only like two back, I think, that were in Muslim families and didn't feel comfortable going forward. So they did, and we got to pray over them, and the kids were weeping, and we taught them when they prayed to just lift their hands out like this, like they're receiving a gift from the Lord, and they were all doing that and encountering Jesus. It was either the next week or 2 weeks later, I felt like the Lord asked me to pray for them to be activated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And of course, I procrastinated that week again, and I looked at the lesson, and it was about Pentecost and the pouring out of the gifts of the Spirit. And they said, you can pray for the kids to receive the gifts of the Spirit. And I was like, okay, that was God again. So we did that, and we got to lay hands and speak identity over them. I remember one little girl we were praying for, and I felt like the Lord just gave me a word for her that she needed to know that God wanted to keep her safe. And I didn't know what the background story to that was, but she was one of the older girls, the fifth graders. And she would always come when the second graders would come, which I thought was interesting. I later found out why. So I was praying for her, and I said, I just feel like God wants you to know that he's going to keep you safe. And then she just started crying profusely and couldn't stop. And I ended up asking the after-school worker about it, and just saying, like, hey, just, you know, and she was a believer. She actually had gave her life to Jesus our second week of the class and rededicated her life to the Lord. And so she actually helped us minister to the kids, which was awesome. But, you know, I let her know, like, hey, this little girl was crying when we were, so I don't know if she needs to talk to a social worker or there's something going on home. She goes, oh, I know what's going on. She said the day before, some of the other fifth graders had jumped her and beat her up really, really badly. So she was now hanging out with the kindergartners and stuff because she didn't feel safe around her peers. But that really ministered to her heart. And she was probably the most consistent kid out of any of the program. And then the last couple weeks, we decided to kind of like get the 111 team and just to teach them how to sing God's word, which is the one of the things we really like to teach in 111. So we just got the kids all up in a circle and we just had them practice singing phrases from the Bible and learning to improvise and just to pour out their hearts to Jesus in song. And so we taught them kind of to come up with choruses and how to minister to the Lord. And we had one little boy that just started just basically like prophesying over himself. And one of the things he told me was that he wanted to pray that God would remove a heart of stone and give him a red heart instead of a rock heart. And I told him, you know, that's actually a verse in the Bible, that God will remove your heart of stone and flesh. He's like, I don't know about that. So the Holy Spirit was actually ministering to him. And he ended up singing this long series of phrases to the Lord about, like, no matter what, like, God will be there. And nobody else can tell you who you are. Only Jesus can tell you who you are. And this is not a kid that has ever gone to church. He just started, like, flowing in the Holy Spirit, and God was speaking through him. So I just wanted to testify the goodness of God and the power of prayer. And I really feel like the fruit we saw in this club in particular was really related to us just listening to the Lord, spending 5 weeks listening to the Lord and asking him for what he wanted us to do and just preparing the ground and the environment. Because I think from what we heard, that environment was not prepared for the gospel. They were in desperate circumstances. All of the kids were acting out all of the time. We had zero discipline issues the entire time we were there. Zero. Zero. And I think we were the only club that happened with. And so I just wanted to testify to the power of God and the power of prayer. Real quick. Nicole. Yeah, we are starting two more clubs in the fall at two new schools that are kind of in a similar level that Butcher Green is at. And the more volunteers that we have, the more clubs we can start. The gospel is moving in the public schools, and we've been praying that the Lord of the harvest would send workers into the harvest because it is ripe. And these kids, a lot of them have never been to church, never had a safe adult, much less ever heard the gospel or had anyone disciple them. And now they have an opportunity to do that. So talk to me if you're interested in volunteering. It's about a 2-hour commitment once a week, or tutoring is a 1-hour commitment once a week. So the more volunteers we have, the more clubs we can start and the more schools we can go into. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Kyle.
This is Nicole.
Hi, I'm Nicole. I've been doing tutoring and Bible club for a few years now before it became 180. And I have so many thoughts of the way that the Lord has connected things throughout the years, but I'll just touch on a couple of those and bring it to where it is now. When I started this a few years ago, I started with mentoring because I thought, man, teaching feels overwhelming. So let me just start with a one-on-one. And I started one-on-one with this girl who honestly reminded me of me, and I couldn't stand her. I mean, to be honest, like, she reminded me of the wild before Jesus version of me, and the Lord showed me, like, this was you. And I fell in love with her. Like, she had such a hard heart on the outside, but she was so tender on the inside, and just was reaching out for help, you know. And her circumstances mirrored my circumstances in my childhood, and it felt very fragile at times. And the Lord was my help, you know, and her help as well. And so much so that she brought a friend in, and this friend felt safe to share her story in one of our times together. And then she said, actually, I want a mentor. Can you be my mentor too? And so I ended up signing up for both of the girls. And my first girl that reminded me so much of me as a little girl would reach out to me even throughout the summer of, like, can you go for a walk with me and just talk with me. And I happened to live in the neighborhood, so we would go and walk and talk together. And so this is even outside of school that I'm able to share with her. And as she's just pouring out her heart of the life circumstances, asking her questions of how are you walking through that? Can I pray with you? And fast forward, the second girl that I ended up mentoring a few years ago, I met her sister. We went on an extravaganza one day and went to a trampoline. I don't know if you guys have ever been to like a trampoline place, you know? So I'm with these two girls and one of their moms, and I meet the second girl that I was mentoring. I meet her little sister, who's, I don't know, maybe like a 3 or 4 year difference, and we're jumping trampolines together. And fast forward, I'm now teaching. Now let me say this, I'm gonna bunny trail a minute here. God will give you what you need when you need it. Amen. I've seen this happen so many times. I'm like, Lord, I don't know about this, and he's like, I know about it. I got you, girl, I got you. So he will give you what you need when you need it. And I had originally this year volunteered to just be an assistant. I'm like, I want something low-key. I want to be a part of the ministry, but nothing like too much. And in the middle of the year, they said, hey, we're running, we have so many kids now. It grew, I mean, seemingly overnight. Can you step in and be a teacher? And I'm like, I don't know about this. And Jesus is like, I know about it. So I kind of put it off, and they're like, so what do you think? You want to be a teacher? And finally I said, yes. And I said, but is it possible to separate the boys and the girls so that I can just have them kind of in a smaller group? And it worked out, and we thrived. Like, God knew what I needed when I said yes. And so he made a way for us to thrive together. And the girl that I had mentored, it was her little sister that was in the class. I've been teaching at this point for, I don't know, maybe 2 months. And I'm like, Lord, there's something familiar about this girl. Who is she? And I asked the Lord that. I was driving to school, and I said, who is she, God? And he connected the dots of who she was. And how, so I got to be a part of this family in two different circumstances. And so I just love the way the Lord makes those connections. And it's so important, because I think, Lord, then what is the significance of this? You know, even down the road, what is the significance of this? What are you doing? And but a couple other my girls, just to Kyle's point of like, it's such an honor to be a safe person for a group of little ones who are vulnerable and don't have that safety all the time. And so there was times I had to discipline in my class and say, this is not how you act in my class. And if you're going to choose to act like this, then you're going to choose to leave the class. And although I was scared to say that, that girl would be the first one to run and hug me the next week. You know, they want that security. They want that safety. And another girl, we would learn scripture every week, and we would just choose one scripture quarterly. And so we were coming off of one scripture, and I said, okay, who wants to do the scripture this week? All the girls went through it, and this one girl said, I can't. I don't know how to read. I don't know. And she was giving all these reasons of why she can't say the scripture. And I said, okay, well, we'll find a way around that. So the next time we had Romans 10:9, we did motions. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. And so we did that over and over and over. And by the third week, she was the one of the first ones raising her hands to say it. And she nailed it every time. And initially she was scared. I'm like, man, this is the point that God can overcome anything in your life. I want you to see that before you said you could not, it's impossible. And now you're one of the first people to volunteer for this. God can do anything. And so one thing I'll just say this too, that I appreciate about the teaching is that the gospel is shared every single week. And it's encouraging for me to see that as a believer, of to be reminded of like, yeah, in every way that Jesus lived, it, through all the parables, through all these things, is the gospel. And so each week I'd be reading through the lesson, I'm like, oh, I never caught that before. Like, that's the gospel right there. That's why we need Jesus. And it points it all back to the gospel. So they got to hear the gospel every single week in a different way, in a different phrase. They got to hear it, and I got to hear it. And so all that to say, like, if there's even an inkling of like, yeah, I have an hour to give of my time to be a mentor, I could kind of see myself doing that. Or I think I could do maybe a two-hour thing once a week, but it kind of sounds like a lot going into it. I just want to do something low-key. I mean, I can't tell you enough, do it, because God will give you what you need when you need it. And you will get to hear the testimonies this morning. We got to do a luncheon at the end of the school year. Times that by, I don't know, maybe 10 people. It was mind-blowing to hear how the Holy Spirit moved throughout the schools. Mind-blowing. And what we shared today was just the tip of the iceberg. So to be able to be a part of that is really an honorable and beautiful opportunity. So I just pray courage over you if you're even thinking about it, to just say yes. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Nicole. And thank you, Kyle and Marlene and Bob. Kyle, you took 12 minutes. Yeah, you took 12. We'll talk later. You notice Marlene had notes. I'm just saying. Yeah, sorry. Don't compare the children. I got a few thoughts this morning, and I'm not going to dwell on it, and I'll make sure that you'll get out in time for lunch. But before I do that as well, I just want to thank all those that went out to the Cloverleaf Apartments yesterday. And how many of you were able to go out for that? I know there were some people there. I don't know the reports yet, but how did it go? Yeah, just say... It was amazing. Okay, we're going to get a report back from that. Oh, great, great. Well, God is good. Well, thank you. So there was lots happening yesterday as well. And I want to thank everybody as well for those that provided food and help and service yesterday for Judy's family as we remembered Keon Brown, the funeral here yesterday. And many of you helped in so many different ways for that. And I got a text from Clarissa yesterday saying, we feel so loved. Our family feels so loved by this church. So thank you. That was a very practical way of reaching out to this family in our community. So I've been going through the series on, and this is not a full sermon if you're looking at your clock, but I'm going through the series on why church, and why do we do the things we do in the church, and why do we have the leadership structures? And today I want to continue on the series of why church and ask why missions. A few weeks ago we looked at why the Word, the Bible, is the foundation of what we do and what we preach. It's our authority. But and then last week we looked at why worship. Why do we worship, and what is worship? And today it's why mission, and why does the church do missions? And if you look in the dictionary, there's various explanations of the word mission, and one of them is, it is an important assignment, a vocation or calling of a religious organization, especially a Christian one, to go out into the world and spread its faith. And that's from a secular dictionary. But, you know, there's a very, very real sense that a mission is a military campaign. You know, that's kind of militaristic terminology to say mission, to go out on a mission. It's a strategic way of going out with the idea of missions. And the truth is that when you go out, and Damian shared this, when you go out, you're really going into spiritual warfare. You're going into the enemy territory, and there's warfare involved. There is a real fight that goes on for the winning of souls as we go out. It's spiritual warfare. And that's why every mission trip that I lead and involved in, I will ensure that either every day or at least regularly along the mission trip, we will take Ephesians 6, we will circle up, and we will pray on the armor of God. We need that armor of God before and during the battle that we are on in mission field. You know that the warfare is not over. Jesus has won the victory, but there's still going to be battles along the way until Jesus comes again. You know, one of the things that I'm really opposed to, passionately opposed to, a terminology, and I know it's a little maybe splitting hairs, but the term mission tour. I don't like the term mission tour, because the reality is you don't tour a battlefield. The only time you can tour a battlefield is if the battle's over. But if you're going into the battlefield to be a tourist, you're going to get beaten up. You're going to take some warfare. You're going to take some arrows. So our warfare is not over. And we're going on a mission to see people saved, to see people rescued from darkness into light. It is very real, particularly in regions where there's witchcraft and there's regions where there's been practices that have invited in demonic spirits. I shared this a number of times. There was one, and you know, you think a lot of that is mainly in Africa, right? Yeah, all the witchcraft takes place there, but it's not so. In 2006, I was in New Orleans, and I took a team of young people prayer walking around the streets. We didn't see anybody. It was a hot afternoon. We were walking down the street, and in an area where we knew 75% of the people practiced voodoo. They were actively practicing voodoo before Hurricane Katrina. And we were walking down the street praying. This lady came out and stood on the front porch with a little bag of chicken bones, shaking them at us and calling curses on us, essentially. That was real. We didn't go to her door, knock on her door and say, hey, we're coming down the street. She knew in the spirit that we were coming down the street. The warfare is real, and it's right here in Kansas City. It's right here in Grandview. It's in our neighborhoods. The enemy does not like to give over territory in the name of Jesus. We see victory, though, and we know who our victor is. But, you know, in the church, we have some people, and we have people that are rightly so that say, well, isn't the church supposed to be focused on caring for the body of Christ and caring and nurturing the people in the church? Why do you keep talking about going out? Shouldn't we really care for us first? And the truth is, the church is called to both. It's a both and. You know, without one or the other, we're disobedient to the instructions of Jesus Christ. Jesus instructs us to do both. In fact, when Peter was reinstated by Jesus after he denied Jesus three times, and in John 21, he meets the resurrected Lord, and Jesus asks him and says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And three times Jesus says, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And he's saying this to Peter, who you remember is the one that declared who Jesus was, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, on this rock, Peter is the rock, on this rock I'll build my church, the church. And so he tells Peter, feed the sheep, disciple those that are in the church. And then Paul also instructed young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. He's instructing Timothy how to build a church, how to grow a healthy church, how to function as a church. And he says it's going to take teaching, it's going to take patience. When you go on a short-term mission trip, you don't have a lot of patience because you don't have a lot of time. You get in, you get going, you share the gospel, you pray for people, but you've got to get moving. What Paul is telling Timothy here is, take your time, disciple, grow the church. So the church needs discipleship, but the church also needs to be obedient to the instruction of Jesus to go. Now we know that the Great Commission, we all know the Great Commission well, we know the Matthew 28 19 to 20 Great Commission. Go therefore into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And lo, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And Jesus says, go. That's the well-known Great Commission. That's the one we go to. But you realize that the Great Commission is in all four of the Gospels. and in Acts 1:8. It's in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, and Acts 1. And for a few moments, I want to look at one of the perspectives that we have of the Great Commission in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Now, Luke, he comes from a different perspective. If you look at the Gospels, each of the four Gospels are written to different people groups with a slightly different slant, but the Gospel is like a diamond. It doesn't change. It's the same. But what each of the writers done by the Holy Spirit is allows us to look at it from a different perspective and to see this diamond of the Gospel for what it really is. We see it from different angles and different perspectives. And Luke 24, so I'm just going to read from verse 44 to 49. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you." This is Jesus saying, "that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." You know, Luke recalls that after Jesus' resurrection and he met with his disciples, he explained the scriptures to them. Jesus reminded them of the prophecies of the Old Testament, and he was saying, and he was expounding the scriptures to them and showing them that he is in all of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a revelation of Jesus, just as the New Testament is. And Jesus is explaining this to them. It's almost one of those classical "I told you so" moments where Jesus said, "I've been telling you this all along. I told you so. It's about me." And he gently walks them through the entire scriptures and teaches them about himself. Because remember, at that time, the scriptures that they had that they speak of in the New Testament is our Old Testament. That's the scriptures that they had. And then in verse 47, Jesus says, "and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." You know, Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he highlights the fact that salvation comes through repentance. That's a key word that you don't find in Matthew's Great Commission. Matthew kind of assumes, yes, there will be, you'd have to repent of your sins. But what Luke's saying is there needs to be repentance, a turning away from your old way of life and turning to new. That's why we have the name, the 180 Club. It's a turning of your old life to something new. It's not something that's preached a lot of today, not something that we hear a lot of today, but repentance is essential. You cannot just take some good things from Jesus and add them to your life. You need to be dead to your old way of life. You need to turn and repent of your sins and walk in the freedom that Jesus gives you. If we read just Matthew's Great Commission, we're going to miss two key pieces. And the first one is repentance. And then the second one in verse 49, Jesus says, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." The Holy Spirit, remember that, comes on this group that's gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem and at Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit falls on them, and they immediately are emboldened as the fire of God's Spirit fills them and transforms them with boldness and power. Who were they before the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost? They were cowering. They hid behind locked doors. They were afraid. They were afraid of their lives, that someone may come and give them up and they'd be prosecuted. They were hiding. And Luke reminds us that Jesus said, "Wait." Now, the Great Commission is all about going, right? And Luke just says, "No, wait." This Great Commission is about waiting. Why wait? Wait for the Holy Spirit, because you cannot go unless you have the Holy Spirit going with you. If we try to go in our own strength, we have nothing to offer the world. You may have all the intellect you have, you may read all the books, you may have memorized whole portions of Scripture, but if you don't go with the power of the Holy Spirit, you have nothing to give the world. So wait, Luke says, Jesus says in Luke's Gospel. And then we know what happens when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. The church is born because these emboldened disciples run out into the streets and began to proclaim the gospel in different languages that they didn't know, to speak to every tribe and tongue that was there in Jerusalem at that time. And the church was born. 3,000 people were saved immediately on that day. Not one of those disciples can take credit for that. Not one of them can say, yeah, I studied hard and I knew the Torah, and that's why when I went into the street, I was able to save some. No. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have to understand that no one going out, Eric not going out, none of this team going to Tahlequah, the team going to South Africa, realizes that we cannot go in our own strength. We need the power of God. And what Luke is saying, Jesus is saying, there's a promise. There's a promise in the Old Testament that speaks about this. Speaks about it in Isaiah 32 verse 15 and Joel 2 and other parts of the Old Testament. Speak about the promise of God, the Father, to send His Spirit. And it's crucial for the mission of the church. It's crucial for anyone going out is to know that our boldness, the words we declare, can only carry power if they're empowered by the Holy Spirit. If we look at Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, they're brought before the council. They've been accused of preaching the resurrection. They've been accused of causing trouble in the city. And a note in verse 13, we read, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus." I love that phrase. And they recognized that they'd been with Jesus. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ was on them and in them and speaking through them. When we go out, do people recognize that we've been with Jesus? Do people recognize that you've been with Jesus? Boldness, like this is, it's not restricted to the early church. It's not boldness that only the early church had. It's the boldness that we can all have and we all should have because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It accompanies any believer who goes against opposition boldly proclaiming the truth of God's word. You know, in the public schools, there's opposition. Where we go in different places, there's opposition. But it's amazing, the more the opposition, the more the Spirit of God moves, the more authority you have and the more boldness you have. None of these going out, those going in July to South Africa, have any illusion that we have some unique ability to be able to change a nation or be able to change a school. We cannot do that. But Jesus said, go with the Holy Spirit and with my power over you. And so there's that humility of saying, yes, I'm going to go. I love the fact that just about every time I invite someone to go on a mission trip, there's that, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can. Good. That's a good way to start. We don't have it in us to be able to do that, to be able to proclaim the gospel with authority and power. Only God can do that. But He gives us the yes. We give Him the yes, and He takes it and uses it for His glory. So I'm looking forward to seeing the report backs on the 25th of June, and then as the team comes back from South Africa and as Eric comes back, to hear the reports of what God is doing and has done in the nations. So the question is, why missions? Why does the church focus on missions? Why is the church doing all these things, raising money to go to different nations? Why does the church do that? It builds the church. It strengthens the church. It encourages the body. It's healthy for the church. Not only in new converts, the church grows as people are saved and brought into the kingdom and invited into the church, but it builds up the faith of the church. How many of you were sitting here this morning when you heard these testimonies? Your faith was built up. you were encouraged to say, wow, look what God is doing in our public school system. Look what God is doing through these volunteers of just giving their yes. Missions is a double-edged sword. And I love this about missions. I've led many dozens of mission trips over the years. I love the fact that I get to spend intense time with people entering into spiritual warfare, because that's an incredible discipleship tool. We grow in leaps and bounds in our walk with the Lord when we say yes and we go and we rely on the Spirit of God. It's one of the greatest ways to grow quickly in the Lord. It's desperation time. And that causes you to absolutely lean into the Lord and to take His word and say, this better be true, because I'm stepping out on a limb here. And when God comes through, your faith is built up. And when those people come back, they're filled with stories of faith. They're filled with stories that encourage the body of Christ. And it builds up the body of Christ. So healthy churches do missions. It is one of the pillars of the church. It's not only the instruction that Jesus gave to the church to say, go and do this. It's also the fuel, the catalyst for the church for healthy growth. So remember to pray for these teams. Remember to pray next Saturday as the team leaves to go to Tahlequah, as we travel down to Oklahoma. Remember to pray for Eric as he leaves tomorrow morning. And then look forward to what God is doing. Keep praying for them throughout the next week. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for what you have done in our schools, in our community. And Lord, we know that there is so much more that needs to be done. We know, Lord, that this is just the beginning. As more people give their yes, Lord, may we see more lives transformed. May we see classrooms changed for the glory of God. Lord, what a blessing to see and hear these testimonies. Lord, thank you for the team that's going out. We thank you, Lord, for Eric, and we pray, Lord, for your blessing and your protection over him and this team going to Oklahoma as well. Lord, we thank you for what you did in Cloverleaf Apartments yesterday, the lives that were touched and impacted. Lord, we pray that wouldn't just be a one-off time of them hearing the gospel, but Lord, that you would continue to move in their midst. Lord, use these for your glory. Lord, as each and every one of us leave this place today, we're going into a mission field. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would empower us, embolden us with courage to be able to speak the truth of God without hesitation, to proclaim the risen Lord Jesus. And may we all celebrate and grow in our faith as we see your power at work around us. We give you the glory and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we close, I want to invite you. I want to have all of those who are going out to just come and stand up front here. And if you feel led to just come up and pray for them, I want to invite you to do that today. So as we close and sing, and Brandon leads us in a final song, just all of those that are going out, so even the South Africa team, because that'll be in about a month's time, but just come forward and just kind of stand around here. And if the Lord leads you to come and pray for them, you guys can pray for yourselves as well. But let's do that as we close as a body and pray for each other. So let's do that. Thank you.